You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlow FM.
You're listening to Good Morning Marlow with myself, Chris Seremba, assisted by Sheila Docker on the controls today and choosing and playing the music, and my guest, Kevin Jeffrey. Kevin, good morning again.
Good morning.
Let's start by introducing you. Well, you're here because this is the Hearing Health Hour.
Yep.
And you work at an organisation here in Marlow called Help in Hearing, is that
That's correct, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what Help in Hearing does and what you do there.
Okay, so as I said, my name is Kevin Jeffrey. I'm the senior audiologist working at Help in Hearing, which is in Glade Road. We deal with everything to do with ears, hearing, wax removal, hearing aids, hearing loss. I've been working in Marlow now for, it must be nearly 20 years.
Wow.
I've been serving the people of Marlow.
Always as the audiologist at Help in Hearing?
Always as the audiologist at Help in Hearing, yeah.
And now you're the senior audiologist then.
And now I'm a senior audiologist, yes. I'm not getting any younger.
So an audiologist does everything to do with hearing issues?
Yes, so it's hearing health, hearing tests, from a hearing loss point of view, testing, assessing, prescribing hearing aids.
Right.
As well as that, as I said, we also do wax removal as well, which is obviously, there's quite a high demand for that.
Right. It's quite a technical role, isn't it? I mean, you use technology a lot in what you do.
It is, yes. And certainly, as I've been doing it for now nearly 30 years, I mean, the technology is moving on immensely, not only with the equipment, but the testing and so on and so forth.
Right. I mean, have you been seeing many of the same patients over 30 years?
Yes, I've actually built up quite a sort of a rapport with many of my clients. It becomes a bit more of a what I call social, as opposed to just sort of a doctor-patient kind of thing. I used to work in the West End of London, which I did for nearly 10 years prior to moving to Marlow. I still see many clients who I used to look after in there. One in particular who actually just lives overseas, comes over once a year to see me to have his ears done.
Wow. How far does he travel from?
He normally flies from India.
Wow, just to see you?
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing to say. Of course he'd do it to see you. What's the best bit about your job, before we just go into the subject for today? What is the best bit about your job? Why do you enjoy doing it?
I think it's just the reward that you get. It's it's a fairly, what I call, painless, fairly instant fix. And you're helping people, you know, you're helping people bring back their quality of life. You know, hearing loss is very debilitating. It can affect, you know, up to, they reckon it's about one in six people have hearing problems, and about one in four when you get to sort of the age of retirement.
Yeah.
And this obviously has an impact on your life. And so to be able to assist and to help people to engage back in the social activities and just making general communication easier, you know, it's very humbling. And they're also very grateful, to me and staff, who have assisted them.
Well, I am one of those one in four
that
come to see you, and I am very grateful for the assistance that you give me with my hearing difficulties, which are very much focused around tinnitus that I have. And my hearing loss is because the frequencies that tinnitus generates a noise in my head replaces the external sound for those frequencies. So
yes,
there's some things I can't hear because my brain hears a tinnitus noise instead. But you know all that. We'll have tinnitus specials sometimes. That's not today, but we'll talk about it if anybody comes in with a question relating to it. What are the initial signs of hearing loss in terms of being around somebody?
So you'll find that, I mean, probably the most obvious one is going to be the television.
Right.
So you get to a point where the TV is getting louder. You'll also find that the individual will be asking more, you know, well, what was that they said, or what's happened here? You will find that perhaps in social situations as well, that you'll notice that when you've got family and friends around, that they're struggling more to participate in the conversation, possibly even beginning to withdraw from the conversation. And this is very true if you're dealing with sort of like restaurants and pubs and bars and things like that, where you've got background noise, that becomes a little bit more difficult. You'll start to notice that their behaviour may change.
Right.
Making excuses that they don't want to go out, or avoiding certain avoiding certain situations.
That sounds a little bit like that's heading down the route of some mental health concerns about sort of enforced isolation, or is that going too far?
Well, it certainly, hearing loss is isolating. And so it's not something that normally happens suddenly. It's something that happens over time. So over a period of time, it's easy to firstly, you know, be in denial from the fact that it is possibly the actors on the television aren't speaking clearly, or the background music on the films and what have you is getting in the way, and then you start going to you know, with social activities, restaurants and what have you. With modern restaurants, there's you know, you don't tend to get a lot of soft furnishings in them, so it's very reflective, and that causes more of a problem as well. But with hearing loss, then it will have more of an impact, and so you get to a point where the individual is finding it quite difficult, quite tiring, and so it becomes, you know, easier to just put the subtitles on.
That was going to be my next point. Yeah, the subtitles on TV. And, I suppose that's a great help these days, isn't it?
It certainly helps. I mean, it's fine if it's a pre-recorded, because the subtitles are normally in sync. But if you're watching something live, like the news, then subtitles can, you know, be sort of sometimes a minute, 2 minutes behind, and with a few unusual words in there as well. So, also you'll find that just basically the amount of times that the person is asking you to repeat, particularly if you are, for example, walking out into the kitchen to make a cup of tea, or you're talking in the kitchen, you're doing the washing up or something like that, and you're finding that, you know, where you've got other noises going on, it's going to become more difficult for the individual to actually hear what you're saying.
Right.
So you're getting the pardon factor coming up more and more, which of course then is quite frustrating for everybody. And so as this gets worse, eventually then obviously, you know, there's going to be a time when you're going to have to say, well, look, you know, perhaps we need to get the hearing checked and see what's going on.
Right. Interesting. Right, I'm interested to hear about why we actually have this problem with noise and hearing clearly, especially as it affects me. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, Jenny and I went to the Theatre Royal in Windsor and saw a play there called Sleuth, which was average at best, I would say.
Right.
It was only two actors in it, but they didn't use any amplification at all. They're just talking from the stage in their normal voices. If there was amplification, I didn't notice it. So we were quite near the front, in the sixth row, but even so, I missed a lot of the conversation. So I did feed that back to the theatre afterwards, because there were people like 20 or 30 rows behind me. I don't know how they coped. But certainly, that Jenny didn't have a problem, but I did. So it's definitely a hearing loss thing.
Yeah.
But also the fact that the actors weren't speaking loud enough, which is fair enough, because you wouldn't expect actors to shout for the audience to hear what they're saying.
Not normally, no.
There should be some level of hidden amplification somewhere, I think.
You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlowe FM.
Indeed you are, with my guest Kevin Jeffrey from Help in Hearing here in Marlowe. Now, we've got a question that hasn't come in by email. It's come in by sitting next to me, and it's from Sheila. Sheila, you got a question for Kevin, I understand.
Yes, I have. Kevin, really interesting hearing what you were just saying before the last track. So my question is, I have a close elderly relative, and they are struggling with their hearing, and they have had the test done, and they have got some hearing aids that they're refusing to wear because, A, they find them uncomfortable, but also they say it highlights all the other sounds so much that it's just overwhelming. So they'd rather, that even pin drops or whatever, so they would rather not wear them. And you mentioned a few things in the last few minutes about the pardon factor.
Yeah.
And that's definitely going on there, and having to repeat herself. And I can sense it's frustrating for her, but also for those around her.
Sure.
And it's almost like she doesn't really realise what she's missing, but it is that repeat factor that is getting a bit annoying for her, but the fact that she won't acknowledge the fact that she should be potentially wearing those hearing aids.
So you see this quite a lot. It will depend, firstly, on the degree of hearing loss. The longer you leave it, the longer it takes to adjust to the sound. Because bearing in mind, over a period of time, you've been losing sounds, and you forget that that we live, you know, that we do live in a noisy world. So once you start with amplification, very often when with my own clients, I will start them at a lower level. And this allows time for them and the brain to adjust to having these extra sounds again. And I normally advise that it's a good idea just to wear them indoors to begin with. So that you're building up slowly, you're building your confidence with them. We're not used to having things in our ears, so there can be a bit of irritation. This normally does settle, but if it's not, then that's something that you need to go back and have, you know, have that looked at. It may be that it needs a different fitting, or they have what we call like a little rubber dome that sits on the end. It might need a different size or a different type. But from amplification point of view, as I said, it's usually just a case of starting at a lower level, building it up gradually. It's a bit like the analogy is, if you pass your test and then you learn to drive. You don't pass your driving test and then start driving everywhere at 70 miles an hour. And it's the same thing, you know, with amplification.
Okay.
You can also get, with some of the devices, you can have a volume control or maybe an app or something that you can use to control the hearing aid with, so that you can adjust the volume, if you need to. But the main thing is using them, wearing them, and getting used to it.
So getting used to them, yeah. So if she did need to have the volume reduced, she should go to her audiologist.
Yes. So you'd go back to where you had the hearing devices from. If you have with National Health, they'll normally they will see you for a follow up, and so you can explain to them that you are just finding everything a bit too overwhelming at the moment, and can you just turn them down a bit?
Okay, great advice. Thank you.
And is it possible to turn certain frequencies up or down on a modern hearing aid? So in other words, if they find that they have high frequency hearing loss, but the low sounds are being amplified, so can that
so
be
done? Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. It's basically how our hearing becomes affected. So what a lot of people don't realise is they think that if you are losing your hearing, you need to have everything louder. And it's not the case. With our ears, what happens is that as we get older, we start to lose high frequency. And high frequency is very important for your speech understanding. They equate to the consonant and the sibilant sounds of speech. So what happens is a bit of an oddity, because you can hear, and you can hear effectively perfectly normally. You know, traffic noise is the same, everything else is the same, but voices are unclear. And so you get to a point where, for example, if you take a word sound and you think, well, what's round, or you found something, you are mishearing with that. So with a hearing aid, particularly with the modern day hearing aids now, they're all programmable. So we actually, once we do the hearing test, that gives us an indication of what frequencies have become affected, and then we can program the instruments to basically compensate in the areas where,
or to emphasise those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To emphasise that. But this is also something that. That also can help on that basis is that because it is high frequency that you're losing, if you are struggling with, for example, or the family is struggling with television or radio, if you have the opportunity to turn up the treble, that can make things sharper, and that effectively will give more definition.
And I suppose with modern TVs, you usually have more control over the different frequencies and how loud they're being broadcast.
Yes. So you normally have that ability. I think with some of the TVs, well, they have a noise reduction system on there as well that help to reduce some of the background music and so on. But we also have talking about the actual problem with hearing is this ability that we have to be able to tune in and out of what we want to listen to.
Right.
And, for example, you and I might be in a pub and we're having a conversation and somebody, Christine, says something that catches your attention, and without even looking, you're kind of honing in on her voice.
Yeah.
Now, that becomes affected as well with hearing loss. And there are tests that we can do to see, you know, to what degree that has been affected. And this also means that things like, for example, this is why social situations or background noise and what have you becomes much more intrusive, because our ability to it is the ear that's doing this, it's not the brain. The brain is obviously interpreting the information, but the brain is sending information to the ear, where the ear is trying to filter the signals that the brain wants. And of course, it's not getting that correct signal, so it's having to guess, which becomes tiring and exhausting. And you get to a point where you just think, well, it's actually easier just to phase out and become disinvolved.
Absolutely. Yep. So thinking about this, doing this where you have a partner with a hearing difficulty, what can be done about making their life easier?
So the main things, as I said, I mean, for example, we talked about the television, perhaps having the treble increased. Particularly, the main thing is getting their attention first. And also where you can try and speak directly at them. So let's say you are in the kitchen, you're doing the washing up, you're now facing the window, you've got your head in the, not literally in the bowl, but if you are then trying to have a conversation, the individual with hearing loss is kind of hearing the sound reflected, and our ears are actually quite directional. So if you're facing the person, not only can they see you, but you're getting a direct sound, and they've got more chance of then being able to hear clearly what right. it is that you're saying.
And I guess there's also a bit of lip reading going on as well, even if people don't realise they're doing it.
Yes, it's not so much lip reading; it's more just facial reading.
Right.
You know, over years we get to know just how little imitations of eyebrows and everything else. It just helps the brain to fill in the gaps.
Right.
So yes, it's always easier to hear somebody if they're facing you.
Yeah. I think a great example of that is if you're going anywhere in the car and you're in the back seat and the front seat passenger or the driver says something, it's very, very hard to hear it in the back seat. And I'm not talking about road noise or engine noise, I'm just talking about from direction and not being able to see those facial visual clues that you're talking
Indeed.
About.
Indeed. And also the other thing to bear in mind is that kind of scenario is that if you are watching television or if you are listening to the radio or doing whatever it is, you're going to be involved with that. So if you're driving the car, we hope you're paying more attention to what you're doing driving the car than you are listening to your passengers. But it also means that that you end up whereby you distraction and the amount of information that you are receiving, if you have a hearing loss, you're not getting all that information. So the brain's having to work harder. One of the things you might notice if, let's say, you're driving your car, you get to a multi-story car park, you're not really familiar with it, your radio's on, the first thing you do is turn the radio down.
Yeah.
And why do you do that? It's to basically unload the brain with things that it doesn't need.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the opposite that happens with hearing loss as well, is that because you've got other distractions coming in, it does mean that it is much more of a heavy load on the brain.
I think the first thing that somebody with hearing loss is likely to do is go for a hearing test. So if your partner or you're a relative of somebody who is approaching a hearing test, how can you help them through that process?
Yeah, so obviously what we were talking about previously and how it's affecting the individual, it's obviously going to become to a point where there's going to be, you know, it's frustrating all around for everybody. And so this is then where, okay, now it's time to have a test and to see what is happening. Now, for many people, the thought of wearing a hearing aid is something that is a no-no. You know, we all have an element of denial with anything before we get to a point where we go, right, okay, let's, you know, now we need to do something and take action. So what can you do, or how can you approach it? And one of the things that that I always say is, if you consider that we have our teeth checked usually every 6 months, we have our eyes checked every year or a couple of years, then we should be doing the same with our ears and our hearing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So rather than approaching it as a with negativity or a threat, if you approach it as kind of like, let's just do this as part of a health checkup, you know,
yeah.
We'll just get our teeth done, we'll get our eyes done, and I think also, well, you know, we'll both get our hearing checked as well. So you're doing it with encouragement as opposed to what I call sort of negativity,
right.
As in, right, you've got to do something, otherwise you're, you know, I'm moving out or something like that.
So does that mean then that you're happy to see people to come and visit you for a hearing test when they don't actually think they've got a hearing issue? They just think, oh, I haven't seen anybody for 2 years, which is what I do with an eye test, for example.
I mean, certainly once you get to sort of really 55, 60 then years of age, then you should be thinking about having your hearing checked.
Yeah.
And it you know... At the end of the day, as I said, the hearing, if the hearing is deteriorating, it tends to happen slowly over time anyway. And certainly we wouldn't intervene with any kind of hearing aid or anything until we get to a point where the hearing is at is effectively has a disability that now requires it.
Yeah.
But there's other things that can cause hearing loss, you know, wax. So
yeah.
You could have a a wax buildup,
And that can be fixed by your good
and
cells.
That can be sorted out pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
You know, we clear the wax out, and then lo and behold, you know, the hearing is returned. Also, just the general condition of the ear, the general health of the ear, and people can have an infection in the ear or a fungal infection or something like that. They don't even realise they have it. They just get a bit of irritation in the ear or what have you. It's something that we kind of forget. We take our ears for granted. And as I said, with teeth, eyes, and everywhere else, we tend to be more active or proactive in having that assessed.
Yeah. So promote ear care to the same level as eye care.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and we're not talking, you know, every 6 months or so. I mean, as I said, I mean, the hearing loss will, if it deteriorates, it tends to happen, you know, very gradually over a period of several years. Once a year or every 18 months, have a hearing check just to make sure that everything's okay. But if the individual is having, you know, if your husband or your wife is having difficulty in hearing and you suspect there's a problem, well, then that's obviously now a time to do it. But rather than strong-arming and dragging them down there, do it together.
You're right.
You know,
excellent.
So that you're supporting each other with it.
So once they've had the test and they've agreed a way forward between themselves and with you, if that route includes getting hearing aids, I mean, what are the best ways that a family can help somebody who is new to hearing aids?
Yeah, so the main thing is as I said to Christine earlier on, is just about encouragement.
That'll be Sheila, by the way.
Sorry, Sheila. I beg your pardon.
Hi, Christine.
I'm going to call you Christine now anyway, so is basically encouragement and recognizing that, you know, as I said, is that yes, it is something new. It's we're not used to fiddling around with our ears or devices that we're putting in our ears, and so
yeah.
It's just, you know, being encouraging, giving them some support. I always try to, you know, say that come with somebody, bring somebody with you. So that we can, it's good to show them as well, because it can be a little bit daunting for the individual when they start wearing hearing aids. So having someone there, you know, that can also step in and help out if required with maybe fitting or the maintenance of them and so on and so forth.
Right.
And as I said, it's just giving them the encouragement rather than, you know, understand that... Depending on the degree of loss, what I was talking about earlier, you know, it may not be an instant fix.
Yeah.
You know, and so being negative when they've got the hearing aids isn't going to be helpful either. So you just have to sort of, you know, understand that you will need to change your behaviour a little bit and how you are communicating with them, even if they have hearing aids in some cases, depending on the degree of loss.
Excellent. Just time for a few more comments from you, I think. So if you are a user of hearing aids, any particular tips you can give to people who are with you at the moment or who that you would think of to give to people who are hearing aid users?
Yeah, so if you are somebody who is, say, for example, you have hearing aids, you're not wearing them all the time, so you're what I would call a sporadic user, then in which case I would say, you know, if you are going to be going somewhere where it is going to be more difficult, a social situation, make sure you put them in at least an hour before you go there. Don't put them in straight away, because as Sheila was saying, this is where you can then find things overwhelming. Another thing, if you have the ability to, if you are, you know, with the hearing aids, are struggling with noisy situations, you can have programs put on to help with noisy situations. So ask your audiologist about that. If you have volume control, very often your desire is to turn the hearing aids up.
And again, we were talking about that earlier on with Sheila, weren't we? The fact that you can use the volume control and use the any frequency changes available selectively.
And likewise, if you are in a situation, particularly in social, where you're struggling to hear, your immediate feeling is to make things louder and actually do the opposite, turn it down.
Well, that's interesting.
That actually makes it better.
That's fascinating. I would never have thought of that.
Yeah, well, this is to do with frequency response of how a hearing aid works in conjunction with hearing loss, but maybe that we'll talk about that another time. If it's very noisy, controversially, you might actually be better off taking one out. You know, if you've got a sitting at in a loud restaurant and you've got a table that's distracting next to you on your left-hand side, we'll take the left hearing aid out.
Right.
You know, and that can help as well. And the main thing is... it's very difficult, but, you know, try not to, if you are struggling with social situations, you're finding yourself where you're getting to the point where you're feeling as though you're withdrawing, try not to get anxious about it. Because if you go to a situation, a social gathering or something, and you're worrying about whether you can hear, you end up getting to the point where you're more worried about whether you can hear that you forget to listen.
Right.
Because you're getting stressed, and stress will also have a negative effect on your hearing ability. It will almost kind of causes your ears to clamp down.
Is that a fairly common reaction to a stressful situation?
It's all part of your fight and flight
response.
Exactly. And just general health. You know, make sure that you're in good health, getting good sleep. All of these things will have an impact.
Will all have a positive impact on the way your hearing treats you.
Exactly.
And your hearing aids work with you.
Yes. And have them check regularly as well, and your ears checked.
That was my next question.
Well.
Do you have to have hearing aid serviced as a...
I certainly try to see all my clients usually about every 6 months, because they are electronic. They can go wrong. They're working in a fairly inhospitable environment. Earwax is quite clever stuff.
The earwax finds its way inside the machine, does it?
It will get everywhere. So this is where we have the equipment to clean them up and check them, and also check the ears and check the hearing.
Right, so the look after your ears and look after your hearing aids as well.
Absolutely, yes.
How often should you actually have the hearing aids replaced?
With ourselves, we normally say about every 5 years.
Right. And do most of your clients or patients adhere to that time?
We try and... I mean, I have clients that have had them, you know, 7-8 years. And if they looked after, then yes, you know, you get more out of them. It's the same as a car, isn't it? If you look after the car and get it serviced regularly, then it'll last you longer.
Fascinating stuff. Kevin, thank you so much for being my guest this morning.
Pleasure.
If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
You can contact us. Our contact number is 0345 222 0579, or just go onto your website of choice, type in Help in Hearing, and that'll direct you to our website where there's more information, and you can contact us there.
This is Marlow FM 97.5.
You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlow FM.